us begin. Okay, we're now on page Kuf Tzadi, and we're moving on to the eighth tool. We've already discussed in the last tool how we have to analyze ourselves as servants to Hashem. So the eighth tool requires us to make a qualitative analysis of our role as servants to Hashem and inspect our actions to find out how much we are directing our hearts alone to Hashem in this service. So how good of a job of a servant are we doing? Okay, so Ha'oifen Hashmini, the eighth method. Hu cheshben ha'nefesh al adam lasos la'atzmo, im hu memale yasachova mutalos alov li'yached es levavo l'elokim yisborach. The eighth cheshben is for a person to make for himself a cheshben if he is memali asachova, if he's fulfilling his obligations, hamutalas alav that are placed upon him, to what? Liyached es levavo, to unify his heart to God. V'yichud zeh shel alev tzorach lios b'shnei afanim. And this unity of heart to Hashem has to be in two ways. Aleph, number one, Shetia belibo rak emuna yechida achasi. He has to have in his heart belief in only one power. V'hu shakel hu echad v'yachid. That Hashem is the one and only God that he is serving. Kamo shebarana b'tchilas ha-sever b'shar yichud. Like we explained way in the beginning of this book in the Shar Yichud. In other words, you accept, accepting his oneness includes many aspects. Okay, as we will see in the next paragraph. Beis, shekasher hu osa eze shehi pu'ula shel avodas Hashem. And when he does any activity of avodas Hashem, beinim hi chova, whether it's obligatory or reshus or it's optional, tia belibo rak kavona yechidis achas. He should have in his heart only one intention. And what is that intention? Vehi, and that is lasos es ha-pu'ula l'shem Elohim levado, to do this activity for Hashem alone, kamo shebi'arnu le'el b'shar yichud ha-maisa. As we explained earlier in the chapter of Yichud ha-maisa, which was another chapter in the book. So really there's a cheshbon ha-nefesh on those two chapters. But now he's going to at least give you some details, a little bit of refresher of those things. Ha-pratim shel ha-muna b'yuchad Elohim hu, heim. What are the details of believing in one Hashem, the uniqueness of Hashem, includes all of the following. Number one, Shlo Yielo Elokim Zulos Yisbarach, that he has no other gods besides Hashem. V'shlo Yiyaches Lo, Lo Tzura, V'lo Tumuna, V'lo Mida, V'shir, V'lo Tnuah, V'lo Tezuzah. He doesn't attribute to Hashem any Tzura, form, physical form, tmuna, a picture, mida, a measure, v'shir, an amount, v'lo tznua, not a movement, v'lo tzuzah, even a little movement, v'lo shum tohar me'atarim ha'gashmim, and he does not attribute any physical image to any physical images that we are aware of. V'lo shum inyan minyanei ha'etzem v'amikra, and we can't attribute him any things from things that are essential or things that happen. In other words, that, you know, things can change with Hashem, things can cause him to do things, any things have to do with essence or property, etc., etc. V'shiyamin shein haschola l'kadmuso, he has to believe there's no beginning to his being first. V'lo sof l'mitzios, there's no end to his reality. V'shiyede shashem hu echad v'ein echad k'achdus, you have to know that Hashem is one and there's no oneness like him. Ushaim Bari Zulasi, there's no creator besides him, Velo Yotzer Belodov, no fashioner besides him. Sheshliachas as Shorsh Mosov Hatovim Besmidosovionin Raklovado. And any other names that happen to work that are there, they're all attributed to Hashem. Right? In other words, there's no one more than this one master who has mastery. And that is clearly, really, what's happening over here, basically, these are the ingredients for understanding the true unity of Hashem's essence, which is really all the part of the first five animamins of the Rambam. is all discussing, you know, to really understand what Hashem is. Right. And, you know, and what he isn't, obviously. And that means he makes all reality happen, etc., etc. There's no physical attributes at all, but he is the only source of any reality that we have. I'm not going to go over that whole idea, but you got to really get that thoroughly in your mind. Then we can then begin the next critical introspection, which is the next point. Va'pratim shel kavonas halev l'shem Elokim ba'asiyas avodasim. What are the details of the intentions of our heart, the direction of our hearts to Hashem when we're doing his avoda? They are she'echavim bepuloso rak lishmo hagadol. We have in mind when we're doing an action for Hashem, only for Hashem. He doesn't do it because he loves to get praise from people. And not with any hope that he will achieve any benefit from others. And not because he's afraid of others. And not with any intention to draw forth some benefit from him. Or to remove some punishment from him in this world, or the world to come. In other words, totally l'shem shemayim. Kmo she'amar Rabbi Seinu zichron levracha, as our rabbis of blessed memory said, al tiyu kavodim hameshamshim es harav al menas lekabel pras. Do not be like servants who serve the master on the condition to receive a reward. But rather be servants who are serving on the condition that they should not receive any reward. So that's the second part. In other words, yesterday we focused on the aspect of your wish is my command. Good. Fine. You do everything a servant would do. Now this point is we're looking at the quality of the service to the master. Why is your wish my command? So our goal is to ensure that it's indeed the one God we are serving, number one, and that we're serving him out of true altruistic love and not for ulterior motives. Now, if a person believes that, you know, besides Hashem, who takes care of my parnasa, it's going to be all those investors that you're able to find to help you with your deal, well, then you are now attributing success and divinity to others besides Hashem, right? And now when you're doing certain things, you know, instead of doing it more, I mean, the revision should be, okay, I'm looking to find investors. Obviously, it's part of my parnasa, but I'm trying to do a chesed with other people, right? But not that really, you know, I'm serving them. Right, that's why it's got to be clear. There's only one that you're serving, and when you and if you really believe that Hashem is everything that the first five animamins really say it is, then it's a natural outgrowth. Is there won't be ulterior motives. Many of the ulterior motives will not be there. You're not going to worry if people will praise you because they're really nothing, right? And what do you mean you're going to hope you're going to get some benefit from this? Hashem knows what he's doing, so. Therefore, when you're doing your mitzvahs and your wish is my command, you totally expect nothing else from this except the fact that you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a master, as a servant has to his master, and that is all that he's interested in and nothing else. Okay, now, V'yasa la'atzmo es Hacheshbon haNefesh odos miluchavasazu al yedei shomer latzmo. He should make a cheshbon haNefesh regarding what he has to do by saying to himself the following: Hispone nachi, reflect, my brother. Ketzad bnei adam hoavim zeze noagim echadim hasheni. How do two people who love each other, how do they conduct themselves one to another? Hello, Tira, don't you see? If one can tell that the other fellow isn't, his heart isn't really so complete with him. If I feel that you are not so really 100% with me. And certainly when a master sees this about his servant, that the servant isn't 100%, you know, loyal and cares only for the master. He'd get angry at him. Umaysav, and the things that the other one does for him, For enam ritzuyim etzel, they're not really desirable for him. Even though outwardly, when he sees what he's doing, wow, he's working really hard, he's mamish being moiser nefesh, he's doing the best job possible. But still in all, I know, let's say you overheard him. Once, you know, the guy didn't realize, you overheard him talk, says, ugh, I really can't stand working for this boss, but you know, he pays good, and because of the good pay, I do everything I'm supposed to do. Well, you know, and you're the boss, and you see, mamish does everything. But he doesn't really care. He's just doing it for the money. Right? And you're already going to get upset with him. Now, maybe you're going to hold it back. You may not show it. You may not that. But at the bottom line, you will be upset with him. Now, think about this. And who is this? This is a human being, boss. Vizos, and this lamros, in spite of the fact, she'orem zokuk l'chavero, the boss needs the worker. Needs his help. So when a human being needs another human being, I need this guy to do the work for me, because that's why I'm hiring him. That's why he's my servant or whatever. And without him, I'm going to have problems. But yet, and he's doing an amazing job, and he really is helping me. But if I know, I found out that he really has ulterior motives for this, then I'm going to be upset with him in spite of the fact that I need him so much. Then Cain, if that's the case, Kol shekain, all the more so, kal v'choymer, shedover kach, etzel habor yisborach. This is the same thing with Hashem yisborach. Shekol habiruim kulam zukukim lo, that all of creation needs him. V'hu ein azokuk lohem, Hashem does not need us. V'ein lo toelas v'hem, Hashem doesn't really get anything from us. Hamistakel el tok levavam, and Hashem is able to look inside their hearts. The sisrei sodosem, and the recesses of that which is secret to them. And he sees it all. And he really can see, Hashem doesn't need us, we need him. And we still have ulterior motives, in spite of the fact that we need him. And he doesn't really need us at all. Ve'echim kein narhiv lihisyaches alav betzura, shalohoyu marhivim lihisyaches bo'afilu klapecha ve'reinu ve'reinu, so how could we have narhiv? Narhiv means to have like the arrogance to relate to him in such a way that we would never relate to even our friends and neighbors who don't see our guile and our sinfulness that's hidden inside our hearts, and they don't know that our hearts are not complete. All right. In other words, we have to really understand, you know, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and what a chutzpah it is to have this type of not altruistic behavior, right? But and how we have the chutzpah to relate in such a way, right? Which we wouldn't relate to others. Now, I'm not exactly sure the. I mean, I understand the chutzpah, but I don't see how we would. I'm not sure what he's saying when he's saying that we wouldn't do this to other people that don't see our foolishness. I don't really see that. That last line, I'm missing something over here. Do you understand what the problem is with the last? I understand the kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer is you. If you would realize that somebody isn't doing the best job for me, I'd be upset with him. So certainly Hashem, if he sees we're not doing the best job, for sure should be upset with people. So how could the person have the chutzpah to act in that way towards Hashem, that we even wouldn't act towards others? I don't understand. That's what we do towards others. I understand you shouldn't have the chutzpah to not do that because Hashem knows what's going on. That I clearly hear. In other words, if Hashem doesn't need you and you need Hashem, and you know that, you know, Hashem should be angry at you if you're serving him that way, so how can you have the chutzpah to act that way? That I understand. But he's saying, but we wouldn't even have done that to others. That I don't really see because other people don't know. So that part I'm a little bit having problem with, that last clause. Anyway, let's continue. If a smart person will reflect deeply on this thing, he will be ashamed in front of Hashem. He will fix up his inner realm. He'll unify his heart to Hashem with giving over himself and charitzus, with diligence. Both in regard to his belief in the unity of God, and also regarding the pure kavana he should have when he is doing mitzvahs and v'lom etzras and learning his Torah. David King David said, "Derech mitzvosecha arutz, the way of your mitzvahs I will run." Two. Okay, so obviously he's saying in both cases, you can expect anger from the person. Okay, now we're not talking about human situations in which the offended person needs the other person's help and has to nurture a relationship with that person, we're certainly talking about human situations in which an offended person needs the other person's help. Match our anger, he'd be if I'm fine. The other person's been lying to him all along. That's the problem. But that's only if that happens later. But with Hashem, he knows what's going on right away. So this tool needs a lot of introspection. Okay. Right. So we really got to be truthful with ourselves. We got to validate the realities of Hashem is our master. We got to validate the fact that it's truly our greatest pleasure to serve the master. And we have no other reasons to serving the master. Now, here's the question and here's the problem that you're going to have over here. The obvious question arises, as that's the problem with the Mishnah in Avos that says, Al tukavodim amsham shem sarava manas l'kabul pras. The obvious question is, how is this sincerity of devotion without desire for any benefit or reward, either in this world or the world to come, how is this consistent with the 11th principle of the 13 principles of faith? The 11th principle of, we say in the Ami Mamin, is, I believe with perfect faith that Hashem gives a reward to the good people who observe his commandments. And the Rambam himself explains that this reward is Olam Haba. Now, this is a principle of Jewish belief, and it must be ingrained in our minds. So, wait a minute. There appears to be a contradiction between the Rambam statement of belief and this tool, which is telling us, based on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, that we serve the Master without any thought of reward. So, how do we resolve this discrepancy? Right, he's saying, he clearly said this. You don't think about anything, right? And he even said, not even to think about the reward of Olam Haba. That's what he said on page Kuf Tzadi Aleph. To remove from him, anything in Olam Haza, Olam Haba. So how does this all resolve itself? Right? You hear the question?
Yep.
So most typical answers say, that the 11th principle teaches us there is a reward in Olam Haba, namely Dveikus Tashem, clinging Tashem. And the Mishnah Pirkei Avos is referring to the reward in this world. But again, in the context of the Chovas Avavas, that's not going to work, because he said a person shouldn't even be looking for any benefit at all, even in the world to come. So according to Chovas Avavas, we have to look for a much deeper answer. So we'll give a little mashal, and hopefully this will help a little bit to explain this idea of sincere devotion. Let's say you have a father and a child, and the child has a problem, has a challenge, and it's infecting the child in the worst way. Okay, whatever the problem is, the kid's not doing good in school, he's not applying himself in school, he really could do better, and he's just not trying. Let's say the kid has a weight issue. Okay, now the father wants to motivate the child to do what is correct. Okay, let's say the child's overweight. So he tells the child, listen, I want you every day to go on an exercise bike. You got to lose weight, right? He pushes him to go on the exercise bike for an hour every day. And he says, listen, if you don't go on the exercise bike, you know, you're not going to, if you don't go for an hour, you're not going to get supper. That's it. You're not going to get any supper. He did it. Or if you don't study for school, you know, you're not doing as good in school. You don't study in school. There's no supper. You got to do an hour of homework before you're going to get supper. Fine. So what happens? 6 months later, let's say the kid now graduates with straight A's. He's accepted into a university. Or the kid lost 50 pounds. He looks great. He's healthy. Good. Now, the kid goes over to his father with a whole cheshbon. He has a sheet of paper. He says, I've been taking an account of the last 6 months, the last 180 days. And the last 180 days, I've been doing an hour of what you've been telling me to do. And minimum wage, I don't know what it is now, let's say it's $10 an hour. Dad, you owe me $2,000, close to $2,000. Because you told me to do this, and I did it, and I listened to you, and you need to pay me. Now, what's going to be the father's response to that?
You already got the benefit.
Right. The father's going to say, don't you understand? The whole reason I made you go on the bike or I made you study was the benefit was for you, not for me. Why should I pay you for something that was for your benefit? Now, yeah, I might have been tough on you and took away privileges from you, but I did it for your own good. So that we understand that, don't we? So the story helps us understand our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem wants us to be his servants, not for his benefits, because he has no needs, but for ours. Serving Hashem with true devotion makes us grow to become better human beings. It makes us become people who are capable of having the pleasure of the infinite relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in this world and certainly in Olam Haba. But we shouldn't look at our service as something we are doing for Hashem. It's not a job. It's not that God has needs and he needs us to do what he wants and he owes us a reward if we do his bidding. When the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us not to serve the master with a reward in mind, it means that we shouldn't assume that just because we're doing something for Hashem, he owes us a reward since we did something for him that he needs. That's not the way you serve the master. Likewise, the Chovas HaVavos is telling us that should not be our motivation in serving Hashem. That's clear. It's not like, you know, With a job, there's an adversarial relationship. There's the boss and the worker. Let's think about it honestly. Does the boss really want to pay you? No. He'd like it to get done for free. Do you really want to work for the boss? No. You'd rather make money without having to work. But since the boss needs you and you need the boss, so now there is a payment that's given. It's interesting. The word pras in Hebrew, almanas lalola kabel pras. Pras comes from the word prusa, which means to break. And that's what's happening. When you're paying a worker, you're not paying him a schar, you're paying him a pras. Pras means I have to take some of what I have that I wouldn't want to give, but that's the deal. In other words, everybody has to give away something. The worker has to give away his time, so he's cutting his time and giving it to the boss. The boss is cutting away his money. It's an adversarial relationship to the extent that really neither one really wants to give what they're giving to the other, but they have to because they need it. Well, if Hashem is all-powerful, he doesn't need anything from us, so we ain't doing him any favors, number one. And the truth is, you know, we shouldn't feel like we're taking something away from ourselves because actually we don't have anything to begin with. Whatever you have is only Hashem's anyway. So how is it possible, you know, the workers get workers upset, they go on strike and this and that. So, I mean, we're not going to do all that just because you give us measly few bucks over here. But what if you're not giving him anything to begin with? What's that based on? It's based on the fact that Hashem is one. Hashem is everything. Whatever you have is nothing. So therefore, you don't serve the master because you expect a reward, because now I did something and he owes me because I did him a favor and now he has to give me something out of my... What are you talking about? The whole system was just that you should be benefiting and you did benefit. You now are a more perfect person. Isn't that the most amazing thing in the world? Hashem doesn't owe you anything for that. So then, what's the 11th principle telling us? That there is a reward? I believe he calls it a tashlum, schar. It's saying that we should know that the mitzvahs are for our benefit. And there will be a reward. However, this reward will not be something God is paying us because he owes us, but will be the inherent value of becoming a person who is capable of relating to Hashem in Olam Haba. That's Hashem will has a system that you will, quote-unquote, lose weight and be healthy. You will be smart and graduate from your own efforts. You will now be the person, inherently, that now will be able to enjoy Olam Haba because that's the kind of person you are. But not that Hashem is paying you off a reward that he owes you. So we don't want to go to Olam Haba, says the Chovas Halavos, because there's a reward waiting for us that God owes us. Rather, we should be ever cognizant as a principle of faith that the mitzvahs that we do are for our benefit. Indeed, the whole system works for our benefit. Since the whole system is for our benefit, we should know that there will be a payoff, but the payoff is becoming a person who's capable of having a relationship with the infinite being, and that is certainly to our advantage, but not that God owes you and has to pay you off anything. So if we look at our relationship with Hashem in terms of obliging him with our service because he needs it, and therefore he owes us, that's not proper. That's an ulterior motive. If, however, we realize that our service to Hashem is not only for our pleasure, but it's also for our benefit, we become better human beings through our role as servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So certainly we have to understand we're going to Olam Haba because of our service. And the reason is that Hashem has been so kind to enable our service from us to become the quality of a person who's capable of appreciating and enjoying Olam Haba. There's a place called Olam Haba. It's an amazing place to be. And Hashem says, you know, would you like to get into that place? Well, listen, you can get into that place. You could become that person, become the better person, and you'll be the person who will, when you go there, you're going to really love it over there. But I don't owe you anything. I just love you. In other words, the reason we serve Hashem is that he wants us to serve us for our benefit. So yesterday's tool taught us that it should be our pleasure to serve Hashem. This tool teaches us why it's a pleasure to serve Hashem. Since we're not looking for an external reward, but we realize that our serving Hashem is for our benefit. And that can only happen if the first idea is very clear, that Hashem is infinitely perfect, has no needs, he knows everything, blah, 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 blah. So there's nothing we could ever do to help him, A. And then B, then we're doing it only for one purpose, for what Hashem wants. Because Hashem wants us that we should be able to enjoy. What does a parent want more than anything else from his kid? What do I want from you more than anything, Mayor, is that you should be the person you could be, that you're supposed to be. That's all. And that'll give me pleasure. You doing anything for me? You do anything for me, you do good in business. You do anything for me, you did good in school. It's not for me. I mean, I get a pleasure out of it, but it's for you. Everything is for you. And that's my ratzon, is that you should be able to give yourself and take benefit of what your life is all about. So therefore, we talked about yesterday doing five mitzvahs, and do five mitzvahs and reflect on you're doing it as a servant for a master, and it's a pleasure to do it. So now you have to ask yourself, analyzing the five mitzvahs again today, did I do them for the pure pleasure of serving Hashem? Or did I do them for other reasons? Honor, praise, fear of others, other external reasons, or just that Hashem Yisbarach gave me a service for my benefit, and because it's his will to bestow pleasure on me. So I realize that when I serve Hashem for my pleasure without ulterior motive, it's certainly not felt as a burden. Once I realize that I'm the one who benefits in an intrinsic way, that gives me chizik to do all the things that Hashem wants us to do, do the will of Hashem. And that's this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha is, why are all the tzaras coming to Klal Yisrael? Setoichecha. And in the middle of all that says, why? Because we didn't serve Hashem with simcha ubetuv lev, right? For all the things he gave us. And that's the thing. If you're not doing any of these mitzvahs with simcha, you think you owe Hashem. If you think you owe Hashem and you have to pay back Hashem, and Hashem needs things. Hashem needs things from you. You're doing things that he needs. Okay, you're going to try to cut corners. You're not going to do the best job, and you're not happy doing it. Well, then there's really no relationship. And again, and what a chutzpah. Can't you imagine a guy be angry? A guy is doing all this for his own selfish reasons, right? If you're doing that, really, I think when the Torah is saying you do avod out of simcha really comes when you're doing it with no ulterior motives. I think it's my greatest pleasure to Hashem because the whole system's for me. Hashem gives me a whole system that I should only be the one to benefit, and I'm benefiting. Why shouldn't I be besimcha? But if you're not besimcha, then you're looking at it as a whole different thing. You're looking at Hashem owes you something, and you're not a loyal master. And that would cause the master to be angry at you. What do you mean? You're expecting prizes? You're expecting rewards? It's not the fact that the system is for you? And that, the Yetzer Hara, works full time to fool us and to think that Hashem needs things from us and he's forcing us to do it and we're only doing this. Hashem, are you happy now that I did what you wanted me to do? You know, so now you try to find a reason to motivate you to do it. Okay, I'm going to get Olam Haba. Okay, Hashem, I'm going to give tzedakah. If I give tzedakah, Hashem's going to give me more tzedakah. I expect you owe me. Hashem said, I didn't create you as a worker in an adversarial relationship. I created you as an Eved who's thrilled to be an Eved of the king, because being the Eved is going to ultimately give you the greatest freedom that you ever can have. And that's where you should have that kind of simcha. This is definitely a very important avoda to be done.